Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show. Wake up to love, your call to action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Stories of Hope. What is today? Today is Tuesday, and we are pre-recording this session for the day after Thanksgiving. So when you're going to be hearing this, Thanksgiving will have already passed. So I am sending you so much love and so much gratitude. Thank you so much for listening to shows and for being part of our studio audience. So I'm going to go straight away into it. I was just sitting here talking to my guest in the green room, and I was telling her that I just can't even imagine being in the place where she found herself in 3 years ago, but still even to this day. Dr. Denise Wunderler is a mom of three, including her youngest, Vienna, who died at the age of 2.8 years, so she wasn't 3 years old, without explanation, on November the 12th of 2017. Dr. Wunderler is a sports medicine physician who graduated from Kansas City University of Medicine, Biosciences in Missouri, and then completed her family medicine residency and sports medicine fellowship within the Cleveland Clinic Health System in Cleveland, Ohio. Welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much, Cornelia. I really appreciate you having me.
It's great to have you on. And like I said to you before we started the show, that I am so sorry for your loss, and I cannot imagine in the state of being of where you found yourself on November the 12th, 2017. So this is the story. This is the story that you're here to share with us today. Why don't you take us back to that day? Because you also said it was unexplainable. Why don't you take us back to that day?
Okay, thanks, Cornelia. Yes, so it was November 12, 2017, and that morning, essentially, my daughter, my youngest of three, woke up and had a little low-grade fever, didn't really think too much of it. My husband and I were planning to go to a wedding, and so we did. We live in New Jersey, so we planned to, so we still had gone to the wedding, gave her a little Motrin, a little Tylenol. She felt great, jumping around, having a great time. And with being a toddler, a lot of toddlers have lots of fevers, and she was one of them. So didn't really think anything of it that would prohibit us from going anywhere. So continuing on with our day, she had a great day with our babysitter and our two other kids. That night was a day wedding. Now it's, 6:40 or so p.m. We're about leaving the wedding. And we get the frantic phone call at 7:02 p.m., that Vienna fell asleep watching TV, and police were there and paramedics were on their way. And so now I'm speeding home. My husband, I'm a doc, like you mentioned, and my husband's an emergency medicine doctor. So he was the one who took the phone call as I was driving, and trying to do his best as well to talk them through and making sure that they're not forgetting anything and trying to essentially save our girl. I mean, they were doing all the resuscitation, of course. And so we got to the hospital, and really, we arrived, and a couple minutes later, Vienna arrived. And I really thought that, and this is about almost an hour, well, half an hour into resuscitation at this time. No, I'm sorry. An hour. It was an hour into resuscitation, where I really thought that when she would feel my touch and hear my voice, she would open her eyes and say, "Mommy," and she'd be fine. Because of course, as moms, we make everything better. So why couldn't I make this better? And you know, resuscitation efforts continued, and it got to the point where my husband said, you know what, there's really nothing else that they can do. You know, this is, you know, over an hour. So there was no way I was going to say, stop trying to save my little girl. She's a toddler and completely healthy, you know? And then the next thing I heard was, you know, time of death, 8:05. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like this can't be happening. You know, this is really unreal. It was really, I didn't even know what to think, what to do. We were both confused, and it was a foggy moment, and, you know, just unimaginable, and still can't believe it happened, really.
Yeah. I just can't even imagine. I mean, that feeling of, you know, being in the position where you were in, and that I totally resonate with everything you're saying about wanting to, you know, make it better, and that you're going to come out of this. She's going to open up her eyes. She's going to wake up. And I just can't even imagine. And I mean, obviously that was a sleepless night. And what about the other siblings? How did they?
Right. So that night, thank goodness, one of our neighbors, we were on our way home, you know, took our other two kids to her house. And so of course, my husband and I came home, you know, we came home hours later, you know, after holding Vienna for many hours and reading her story and, you know, and singing to her and everything. And of course now it's, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm looking up on the internet, how do I tell her siblings, who are at the time 5 and 7 years old, you know, that their little baby sister died, you know, and she was healthy and there was nothing wrong, nothing that we could foresee that this would happen, anything like this would happen. And so then that morning, really, you know, woke up at 5:15 in the morning, my husband and I were both awake still. We said, let's just go get them. So we went down and got our other two kids and, you know, sat on the couch and just, you know, told them the best that we could and tried to tell them in ways that a 5 and a 7 year old would understand. Even then, it's hard for them to understand, you know?
It's hard for us to understand.
Yeah, exactly.
It's even hard for us to understand. It's like, my God. So, I mean, this was 3 years ago. I mean, you know, I can't even imagine, like, how does one even go on, you know, from there? Like, how do you start? You said there was no explanation. So there was an autopsy done, all these things.
Exactly. So essentially what we were told is that after the autopsy was done, there was nothing that was found. The medical examiner actually said, you know, you took really good care of her. And so I found nothing wrong. And if everything comes back normal in terms of all the extra testing and, you know, drug screen, everything, that this is likely going to be a case of sudden unexplained death in childhood, SUDC. And essentially, Cornelia, this is, you know, everyone's heard of SIDS, right? So this is essentially SIDS part two, but in kids older than 1 year old. So this is a category of death in kids 1 to 18, where after a thorough investigation, autopsy, medical record review, death scene investigation, there is still no explanation for why these kids are dying. And these kids are, you know, apparently healthy, and there's no explanation. So that's what then, you know, kind of started, you know, I mean, we're both physicians, and how did we not hear about this? We never learned about this in medical school or residency or in any type of, you know, conference of any kind. And so, you know, really, you know, it took a couple of weeks or so, but I knew that I couldn't just lay idle and do nothing. And you know, of course, if something like this happens, you have no idea how you're going to react, of course, until you're thrown in it like we were. And I've always been a very actionable type of person my entire life and always having a positive attitude, but this is a pretty, you know, tough to have a positive attitude about this, you know. But you know, I knew that we had to do something to continue her legacy, because she was just such an amazing little, you know, caring little girl helping her friends out. And I have pictures of her like holding ice on her friend's face, and, you know, just unbelievable little girl. She really completed our family of five, you know. And so the first thing I did was I wrote something and just, you know, pretty much said, you know, our little girl Vienna, you know, was born January 19th, 2015, and you know, sadly entered heaven November 12th, 2017, and kind of described SUDC and said, you know, please share this rose. Essentially, it's Vienna roses or Vienna flowers. So share this rose, you know, yourself, smile and pass it on or keep it yourself. So that was kind of the first project to really get the word out about SUDC, and then also spread, you know, the Vienna happiness and the Vienna sunshine, you know, that we miss so terribly every day. So that really propelled me forward to then talk about it more. And it took months, but you know, talking to reporters, and my husband said, hey, Denisha, why don't you share this on Facebook? I never really did any kind of social media before then. And this happened. He's like, you know, you really should tell all your physician mom doctors and, you know, on Facebook. And so I did this, and it was over 75,000 moms who are doctors on Facebook, and just the outpouring of love and support. And, you know, so that then I really then saw the power of social media to get the word out about this. And again, you know, this was described in the literature, SUDC, you know, back in 2005, 15 years later. Well, this definitely is 12 years later. Still, us as physicians still never heard about this. So that really kind of put the driving force in me and the passion in me, saying that, well, number one, I don't want people to forget about my youngest daughter. You know, she's going to continue to live on in some way, and people need to learn about her, but also people need to learn about SUDC because no one knows about this. And so that kind of, you know, put everything in action, and, you know, doing more, just more projects. And I wrote a song, you know, to her. Essentially it started off as a message, and then her favorite musician turned it into a song, and created handbags, and, you know, designed, you know, helped design the logo and the V halo, which is how I write her name on every single card, you know? So then we, of course, you know, we founded our family's nonprofit, you know, Team Vienna for SUDC awareness, and then co-founded another nonprofit with another mom, another passionate SUDC mom, and formed the SUDC Coalition to really raise the bar and, you know, get other families, people who are passionate about this, other nonprofits, individuals together to really make a difference and fund research, which we're involved with Boston Children's Hospital, the Roberts Program there. It's a wonderful program, and really just trying to do our best to, you know, get the word out and solve this eventually. I mean, which would be amazing. I really want to get an answer for Vienna's death and other kids, and maybe we can prevent this someday. That's my hope.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful vision. I've never asked anybody this on the Stories of Hope series, but I'd like you to come back and do a part two, mainly because I want to have another segment where we can talk about whatever else is next and really, you know, go deeper into your mission and your work, and maybe even bring some photos next time of Vienna that we can share. Oh, you've got one. There you go.
She is. Yeah.
Go ahead and talk. So, because right now I'm talking, my visual is still up. Go ahead and talk. Show us the picture.
So this is my little girl, Vienna. This was her last Halloween, and, you know, she loved hot pink, and she really loved this outfit. And sadly, this is actually the outfit that she died in. And I must say, that was probably one of the, you know, I think in some ways, even worse than the day that she died, honestly, because now it's becoming more real, I guess. You know, 10 months later, so I picked up her outfit from the police. You know, and that date was really horrible date, in addition to the date, you know, I picked up her death certificates. You know, I mean, every child has a birth certificate, but they shouldn't have a death certificate.
Yeah, you know? And I mean, yeah, and not this young, and certainly not for a mother and a father to outlive their child's life. I mean, this has got to be the most hardest thing. I just can't even understand and imagine what you went through. And I'm so sorry for your loss and everything that you had to feel and experience in your other children. And I, at the same time, I know that you are creating awareness with what you've had to lose in with losing Vienna. And so let us let the audience know where they can find out a little bit more about you and the story, and find you on social media.
Yes. So I'm on Facebook. So we have a nonprofit site, Team Vienna for SUDC awareness. We are a 501c3 nonprofit. And then also we have our website, of course, www.vienna. So it's our first name, capital of Austria. So www.vienna.team. And then also sudccoalition.com. And also my email, especially if anybody knows somebody who has lost a child, we as a group, you know, more than happy to help, because this is something that, you know, people need help. People need to know that they're not alone in dealing with this horrible, horrific tragedy that really is a lifelong sentence. So my email is doctor. So dr.denise@sudccoalition.com.
Yes. And I do know someone because this is something that I was alerted to just a few months ago. And this is somebody from my family, and that had this experience. So it's somebody that I'm going to put in contact with you. But like I said, I want you to come back for a part two so we can have a further discussion. I want to thank you so much, Denise, for coming on today and creating awareness, sharing this incredible, true, very painful story. And, you know, I send you so much love and peace. And that beautiful little girl, Vienna, what an amazing, what a gorgeous little girl.
Thank you.
Little girl. And what a beautiful legacy she has lived and is left behind.
Thank you. I appreciate having me on, and I would love to come back and talk to you more about my little girl and our mission. Thank you so much for having me.
She's so cute, and so are you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and much love to you. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. We are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232 or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Hi, I'm Laura Goldstein, and here's a Coffee with the Universe tip. It's no secret that anxiety and overwhelm are on the rise. While the tendency is to suppress these feelings, anxiety is really a messenger that's telling you something is off, very off. You might be shooting yourself and living a life based on someone else's expectations. Maybe you have trouble saying no, or maybe you're following the fearful voice in your head that demands you do more, be more in order to feel worthy. So see where you can make a few adjustments in what you're doing to get rid of the overwhelm and create more peace inside instead. To get more tips like this, tune into my transformation talk radio show called Coffee with the Universe. It's a live call-in show. I'd love to chat with you.
Welcome back, everyone. It is, I know, totally mind-blowing after this last story that we had. It's incredible to be able to be with these amazing people that have found ways to go on in life, even after you think that you just can't go on anymore. And that's why I created this Stories of Hope series, to give you the inspiration to know that if we did it, you can too. My next guest is Marlenia Ortiz. And after surviving multiple traumas, such as child abuse, a horrible car crash, and cancer, Marlenia is fervent about making every day count and turning dreams into a reality. She's a business influencer, a dreamer, and a doer, and also a kingdom interpreter at heart. She's certified in life coaching and business coaching, and is a marketing strategist with over 18 years of experience working in communications and specializing in multicultural advertising and digital marketing. Marlenia is a Latina committed to empower each lady by sharing her testimony, business expertise, providing tools, guidance, and support, and the accountability they need for their entrepreneurial success. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. So glad to to be able to be here. Thank you so much, Cornelia.
Yes, I just love all that passion that is included in your bio and your mission that you're here to empower not only entrepreneurs, but Latinas, that they really fully step into their abundance and their prosperity in their entrepreneurship. And I welcome that so much too. And I support women's empowerment. So thank you for coming on. Now, when thank I opened you. Up the show, you overcame quite a few things. So I don't know what you want to touch on. Is it cancer? Is it the car crash? Where do you want to take us?
You know, I think the most important thing is for you to never lose hope or, you know, faith. Faith has been my north. It's something that I didn't tap into it when I had my first, you know, when I was abused by a child. I was 9 years old. And, you know, that led into a series of circumstances in my life that not only it shaped who I am today, but it also has given me this opportunity to be able to encourage others that, you know, no matter your circumstances, there's always room for you to dream and for you to have faith and for you to really go after the dreams that God has placed in your heart, because we were created with a purpose and for a purpose. And that is something that we need to be very bold about it. And, you know, like you mentioned, I the other day, you know, you mentioned that I am a trauma survivor, multiple trauma survivor. And that is something that hit me the other day. I was networking, you know, on a Facebook group because of my business coaching business. And the thing is that someone asked me and I answered like, I am a multiple trauma survivor. And it hit me, you know, even though I've been sharing my story, it was like one of those moments that you are kind of going through a desert and wow. And I have to like, you know, tap into the mindset and, you know, just take some time in prayer and worship and really, you know, go after God. Am I doing what you call me to do? Am I going, you know, am I sharing really something that will inspire people? And that's what my goal right now is, not to only empower ladies and Latinas, yes, and everyone, to go after their dreams and to go after their business dreams as a business coach, but also, you know, sometimes your dream not necessarily needs to be building a business or having this, you know, six-figure income, but just have flexibility to be with your family or just have been able to influence your community. You know, we all have different callings. We're a body and we need to have different, we all have different gifts and we need to tap into those gifts in order for us to really, you know, make that mark in our life that we're called to make. I know that, you know, in my life, the enemy wants to destroy me in so many ways. Like, I was not only abused when I was a child, that, you know, changed my life. I left my mom and I went to live with my dad because I wanted to leave that environment. And he didn't know that. And that, you know, as a consequence, marked my relationship with my mom. God redeemed that relationship 15 years later. And today we are best friends and people see us. And how is that possible? And I say, you know, only God. And, you know, that circumstances, because I didn't spoke about it, led to other abuse when I was 15 and then when I was 21. And, you know, it shaped into a multiple series of things that I needed to be able to get that support. And once I started talking about it and getting that support, you know, is when really my life turned, I will say, turn for the good, even though I'm still not where I want to be because we all have a different dreams, right? But I'm working towards that. And that's my empowerment. That's my message. That's my piece of hope that I want to share with everyone. And, you know, not to lose hope. And more importantly, to just keep that faith that surpasses all understanding, that, you know in your heart that you have that dream. Just go for it.
Yes, I love it. I love everything you shared. What I'm walking away
thank
with
you.
That you're talking about, it's not just the people that want to be entrepreneurs that have a dream. It's also people that have little dreams, just any dream. And what reminded me of what you said is that even if the dream is just to overcome the trauma that mm-hmm. you experienced as a young person or, you know, in your life that you can find a way to go on. And if that is the dream and that is enough, and that's what yes. I'm hearing you say, that it is not just for the entrepreneur, it is for the dreamer.
Exactly. And I have three different things that I want to encourage and I want to share with your audience as well. You know, how you go after your dreams. I simplify them in three action steps. Just work with your mindset, you know, working with our mindset, renewing our mind. It's so important. I always said that my mind can be a Disney World park because there are so many ideas and things running into my mind, but I have to really hone in and tap into, okay, you know, are these thoughts serving me? What are the purpose? And, you know, I have sometimes to just shut the enemy, the voice of the enemy, because I need to hear. And what I do with my mindset is that not only I take time to read the word, I love to dive into, you know, what God says who I am. I felt going through cancer that I lost my identity as a woman because of the type of cancer that I had. But, you know, knowing who I am and who I was created for more than just being a mom or for more than just being a housewife or, there's so many other things that I can tap into it. But that's the first thing, you know, work with your mindset. The second thing is make a list of your goals. You know, what are those dreams? What are those goals? What are actual steps that you can take? You know, you are not going to be, for example, when I'm doing business coaching, you know, you're not going to tap into that six-figure income without being a, you know, three-figure income, four-figure income. There's a process. So we have to tap into that, you know, what are those goals? How are you going to reach those goals? And then the last thing and the most important thing I will say is to get accountability, you know, get someone who will mentor you, get someone who will pray for you, get someone who will have your back, that not only will say, oh yes, go for it. No, like really someone that you can be honest with, share your dreams, share your fears, and someone that you know that is going to be a good guidance for you. So those are my three actionable steps for anyone who wants to go after their dreams.
Yes, I love that. They're goal oriented for sure. If you do those, if you follow those steps, then you can absolutely succeed. Where can people follow you on social media?
Yes, of course. I'm very active. I'm very active on my stories on Instagram. So you can, you know, just reach out to me and Marilia Ortiz _. That's what my Instagram handle is. And then also I'm very active inside my Facebook group. I have a free Facebook group, which is called Faith Driven Female Entrepreneurs. And that's, you know, a community where I go live every week. I share business trainings. We talk about life and we even pray for each other inside the group. And I will welcome everyone who wants to join us. Of course, you have to be a lady. You have to be a female to be able to be inside the group. And then if you're looking for accountability, if you're looking for business coaching, or just you want to send me a message or how I can also connect you with different coaches, you can, you know, reach out to me on my website, MareliaOrtiz.com.
Thank you so much, Marilia Ortiz, for coming on to the Cornelia Stephens Show. You. It was an honor to hear your story today, and well done you for following your dreams, for leading the way, for showing how it's done so other people can too. It's always an honor and pleasure. And thank you so much for tuning into the Cornelia Stephens Show. We'll be right back.
Tired of not losing the weight? You need a healthy solution for weight loss that protects your muscle mass as the fat burns away naturally. Holistic Medical Center has the healthy option for your weight loss concerns. Lose 1 to 3 pounds per day in 21 days, naturally, under our physician supervision. Call Holistic Medical Center, 425-451-0404, or on the web, drdarvish.com, drdarvish.com.
Hello, friends. I am Terry J. Walker with the I Am Power Hour, and here is your soul-stretching success tip of the day. Two very important and life-changing words, I am. I have an alphabet game I wanted to share with you today. Start with the letter A and come up with as many positive words as you can think of and place those affirmative I am words before them. For example, I am abundant. Move to the letter B and do the same thing. I am beautiful, and so on. This requires you to actually focus on coming up with positive words and learn to state your affirmations with conviction, validation, and focus. Begin to say them numerous times a day. Learn to say them with feeling and belief, and you will begin to see your confidence, your focus, and your self-worth evolve. Hope you have a beautiful, successful day, and I'll see you next time.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. I'm so excited to introduce our next guest. Our next guest, Olivia Cook. She is a social media strategist for small business owners and is a mindset coach for millennial women. And we know that that is so needed for the women of the millennial age. She's a military wife of 5 years and has lived in 4 different states thus far. She started her business this year, which is huge, and she's enjoyed the journey. She started doing this because she believes that her calling from God is to empower those around her. Welcome to the show today, Olivia.
Thank you. I am so honored to be here with you and amongst all of these amazing other guest speakers that you've had today. I'm just going to share a little bit about my story. Yeah. And how I started hearing from God. So on October 8th, 2018, I was notified that I was going to have to leave my home the next day because a hurricane that was a Category 2 was approaching my home. And my husband being military, it was okay. I was like, oh, I'm going to go on evacuationcation because it's so important to me to have a positive mindset no matter what's going on, because we can only control how we react to things. So we go 150 miles away to Montgomery, Alabama. And I was being very generous with the government's money. So we stayed at a Days Inn. But it had a pool and it allowed dogs, and that's all we needed, right? And it rained the next day, which was the 9th, rained almost all day, and we're waiting. And then in the morning, we wake up and we watch the news and we see that the storm's approaching us very closely and it's upgraded to a Category 4. And then we start contacting everybody that we know. We didn't even worry about our things, our possessions, because at that point, that didn't matter. We had each other and our dogs, and we just wanted to make sure the people that we knew would be okay. And then we lost service. They lost service around 11 o'clock. And we found out later that it had upgraded to a Category 5. Mm. When we were able to go back home a week later, we were able to salvage about 20% of our things. And when we went in, we were recording and we were like, we didn't look at what we lost. We look at what we still had. So in the recording, I can hear myself saying, well, we still have this. Oh, I can make this work. Oh, this isn't molded. This is great. And it made it a lot better, but it was still extremely devastating. And as I sat there trying to rummage through my stuff for an hour, and I was starting to get annoyed because it was a hot Florida sun and no air conditioning, no water. And we still had a house standing. And I couldn't help but think about the people that did not have the same amount of help that we did because they weren't in the military. The area that we lived in got hit very bad. Mexico Beach was completely flattened, and they never gave us true numbers of how many people died from that hurricane. It only took 20 minutes to destroy the town, and this town is still trying to recover. Mm. And while I was thinking over and over again, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do a fundraiser for the people back in Panama City. So while I was able to transfer my serving job at the time to the other place that we ended up evacuating in Atlanta, and I looked at it as an extended vacation the whole time. But since I was so blessed, I needed to bless other people because this wasn't the first time I'd been homeless before. I was homeless once as a kid. So it was so important for me to take care of those or do the little bit that I could. And once something's in the news and it gets passed, people forget about it. And 2020 specifically has been one of the most catastrophic years, hurricane season wise. We are onto the Greek alphabet. I know that Louisiana has been hit 3 times this year. And there are millions of people that are homeless, not just from hurricanes, but wildfires and earthquakes as well during this pandemic. And I know what it feels like to be completely forgotten from the media and have to continuously over and over and over again tell every person you meet, well, oh, why can't you receive mail? Oh, because I lost my house. Why can't you do this? I don't know where I'll be living for the next couple of days. And it's just knowing what they go through. So I started to realize my skills as a social media strategist when I was doing the fundraiser, because we had the event back in Panama City at the mall that I used to work at. So we paid for the event insurance out of pocket. We got our friend's RV. And granted, I'm 26 at this time. My friend at the time was 20. We were all under 30 years old doing this fundraiser. And we actually collaborated with a law firm that had paid a lot of money for ads on the radio and all of this other stuff, but we weren't put in that. But we received more people show up for our event just from marketing on Facebook to get them to come. And we only did it for 3 days. We only marketed for 3 days and we got that many people to come. I met a girl from Chicago. She drove down and brought toys for the kids because we did it in December, and we were able to give around $5,000 worth of supplies and toys to the people in the area. Now, that's not a huge amount, and we really wanted to do more, and it kind of broke my heart that I didn't do more, but I know that we were able to help some people, and I'm not going to stop helping with natural disasters. That's truly what I feel like God wants my purpose to be. I have plenty of other skills in this world, but my purpose is to help those that are forgotten. And that's what's the most important to me.
It's really powerful. What a powerful story. What a powerful mission that you're sharing with us here today, out loud, out in the open. There's a lot of things that you shared that really moved me and touched me. Thank you so much for being who you are, where you were like the way you went in when after you hadn't been in your house for like, did you say 11 days?
Mm-hmm.
11 days you hadn't been back to your house. And then when you came back in, oh, you know, I can use this for this and we can make this work and we can make that work. That's really so much what a lot of people need to hear right now because of the loss that people have experienced in this pandemic. And there's a lot of good nuggets that you've shared even in your story with other things that I know that when people hear this is going to really help them in the way that you approached it. And well done you for, you know, doing the giving back to the people right away the way that you did. So it's really admirable to, you know, the way that you came bouncing back and giving back to make sure that people are not forgotten, Olivia. It's really awesome.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Let's let the audience know where they can find you, where they can find out more about you and also, you know, engage with you and then, you know, keep following you while you're doing the good things that you're doing in the world.
Thank you. I'm very active on my personal Facebook and you're more than welcome to follow. I interact with almost everyone. It's Olivia Cook. And my podcast is The Empowered Woman, Badass and Unfiltered. And that is all about female empowerment. I have a YouTube channel called Life Hacks with Liv, and I share health, wealth, and happiness tips for female entrepreneurs and women in business and just very busy people that need some clarity in their lives. And my website is oliviatmcook.com.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we're going to hear a lot more about you in the future because you are doing really good things in the world and you're positioning yourself. You're right in the right place right now at the right time where the people can find a way to collaborate with you so that they can get their life to unfold in a much easier way. So thank you so much for being here, Olivia Cook. Thank you for what you do in the world. We're going to be in touch, and thank you for listening and tuning into the Cornelia Stephanie Show. We'll be right back.
Has your kindness been used against you? Are you ready to clear the confusion and reconnect with your power? Then it's time to become toxic person proof. Join toxic relationship specialist Sarah K. Ramsey as she gives you the secrets to rebuilding and rebranding your life after a toxic person encounter. It's time to get past the past, get real about the present, and get serious about your future. For more information, visit sarahkramsey.com.
If you struggle with fear and anxiety, you know how powerless and stuck these emotions can make you feel. You've tried everything, but nothing helped you overcome these blocks. Dr. Friedman Schaub, award-winning author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, created a special program which helped thousands of his clients to become healthy, happy, and confident again. Learn how to eliminate negative self-talk, let go of your emotional baggage, and replace limiting beliefs. With Dr. Friedman's accelerated program, you can break through your challenges. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Welcome back to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. It is such an honor and a pleasure to be with you all today. These amazing guests that continue to come onto this show to inspire us to live our best life. That's really what these amazing contributors are doing with sharing their story, sharing their passions and their visions for the world. So my next guest, very, very interesting lady. She is from Uganda and her name is Jackie Batanda. She's a creative entrepreneur and she lives in Uganda, Africa, and she educates entrepreneurs, people through the power of writing. But before I introduce you to her, I want to share this piece about her bio that really, really needs to be said. In 2019, she was named among the top 40 under 40 inspirational Ugandans and was the 2018-2019 Continental Winner Training and Education category at the Women in Business and Government awarded in Johannesburg in South Africa. She is a contributor in the New Daughters of Africa anthology, a seminal body of work that captures the voices of 200 women of African descent. The Africa regional winner of the 2003 Commonwealth Short Story Competition, her stories have been performed on the BBC World Service, BBC Three, and radio stations throughout the Commonwealth, as well as appearing in various international anthologies. She has written for publications, including in the New York Times, the Boston Globe, Guardian UK, the Mail and Guardian, the Sunday Times, and Sunday Independent Malaysia magazine. She was the recipient of the 2010 Uganda Young Achievers Award, shortlisted for the 2012 Trust Women Journalist Award, and named by the Times in London in 2012 as one of the 20 women shaping the future of Africa. She was named among 39 writers under 40 from Sub-Saharan Africa, most likely to shape the future of African literature. She has run writing workshops in the US, UK, South Africa, Uganda, Tanzania, Kenya, and Malawi. She is currently at work on a novel and short story collection and is ghostwriting two books. Welcome to the show. What can I say? Welcome to the show, Jackie. It's such an honor and a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having me on the show, Cornelia. I'm also excited to be able to reach out to your audience.
Yes, I'm so glad that you are here. It's amazing what you have accomplished. And like I told you before we went live today, that everything that you have done in the world up until now has all prepared you for doing what it is that you are about to do. And so you are expanding on a global reach, helping entrepreneurs thrive through their creative writing, not just entrepreneurs, but people in general. What is it that you want to say to the world today? What message do you have for us?
Thank you, Cornelia. The message that I have for the world today is to just emphasize the power and the importance of stories, the fact that stories help us shape our views of ourselves as a culture. They shape the narrative of our identity. And so I have been working with different writers for a period of time and everyday people to document their stories. Living in Uganda, in Africa, I have found that many people have led such phenomenal lives, but they are not sharing it. They are not documenting it. So we are having a loss of that recording of our contemporary lives and history. So I decided that I wanted to set up a company that would help people, ordinary people that wanted to share their stories, to help them plan, write, brand, and market their stories to bring them to a much wider audience. So as a writer, I have been writing professionally since September of 2000. A lot of my time has been spent in Uganda, in Kampala, that is where I was born. But I've also had opportunity to study in other parts of the world, including South Africa. I have been a visiting writer in residence at Lancaster University, the UK. I have been in Denmark on a writing fellowship. And I have also worked as a ghostwriter on a particular project that was back in 2006 at the University of San Diego. Let me take a step back to just talk about that project. So I was invited as a peace writer to the Joan B. Kroc Institute for Peace and Justice at the University of San Diego. So every year, the IPJ, as it is called, runs a fellowship where they get women from the global south to come to the US for a break, but also to use that opportunity to write their stories. So we are talking of women at the front lines of war, right? You know, and human rights activists. And then the IPJ does hire peace writers to work with these women to share their stories. Because what the folks at the IPJ had found out was women in the global south are really at the front line. They're fighting for different rights. They never take time to sit and take stock of their journey, to document their stories and experiences, which younger women or other women in other parts of the world can read and learn from and use the same experiences to forward and fight for the different rights in their own countries. So going to the University of San Diego, because when I applied to be a peace writer, I was studying at the University of Witwatersrand in Johannesburg in South Africa, and I was doing a master's in forced migration studies. So forced migration studies deals with the study of people that are forced to move. It is either because of war, it's either they are economic migrants or different reasons why people will be forced to move from their home to go to a different land. So it was during my time in Johannesburg that I came across that advert and I applied. So it was the first time that the IPJ was getting a writer from the continent. The previous writers before had been based in the US, but because of the power of my CV and the writing I had been doing, a lot of my creative writing was about the life in my home country in Uganda. And it also documented a long-standing war that had been taking place in one part of the country. So my writing skills, you know, enabled me, and it was a change for me, an interesting experience to come to the US. That was my first trip to the USA in 2006. So I worked with a woman peacemaker from Kosovo. She's called Shu Kriegashi, and she had a very amazing story, but that opened up my mind to not only think about fiction writing, but to also think about life writing. And it sowed the seeds of the work that I do today, working with people across different spectrum, from business people to peace activists, and just anyone who wants to write a memoir, or they want to write a business book, or their autobiographies, or even a biography. That was the stepping stone for me. And so I found that stories are an important way of expression. They are an important way of validation. So when I work with people, when I see them launching their books, it brings me so much joy, because I keep on saying, I'm helping to contribute to the development of literature on the world stage. For the people that are in the book writing industry will know that Africa contributes a very minimal percentage to literature every year, because people are not writing their stories. So I started my company in Uganda, and during this time in COVID, it has helped me to pivot. Now I'm running classes online. And actually, as I talk, over the weekend, I just ran a 3-day writing retreat, and I had students from across different sectors, from a dance instructor to a development worker to the owner of a successful furniture shop to a doctor. I know different people, ordinary people coming to share their stories. So I work with them and give them the tips of what makes a very good story, how best they can package their own story. But also at the beginning of the classes, I always ask them to be able to identify what their mission and purpose at a personal level is. And then I explain it is important to know what your mission and purpose is, and it should be aligned to the book that you want to write, so that your authenticity is there, that aura of authenticity around you is there. Your message and your purpose are in alignment. Yeah, so it's been a very interesting journey, and I'm getting to see that more and more Ugandans are getting to write their stories. This year, when I began running free webinars, I got students calling from around the world to join in and just learn to know what it takes to write a book, what it takes to market. But I always tell them, our stories are very important. We need to write them for posterity, for eternity, and, you know, just to let other people know and learn from the journey that we have had and having those shared experiences. Over the last couple of months, of course, seeing that different events that we are taking place in the US. And so a big issue that came out for me was the issue of representation, right? Why it is important for people to see themselves in the stories that they read about. So me working with different writers or or everyday people that that have a message that they want to share with the world helps me to contribute to the aspect of representation and having enough stories about ourselves. Yeah, so I mean, that has been my journey at an individual level. I have published very many short stories which have been run in different literary journals in the world. As Cornelia mentioned earlier, I have written for some of the best publications around the world and on the continent. So I brought all this wealth of experience with me, and I decided the thing that I can do in Uganda and really have impact is to help people share their stories, to help them tell their stories well, and to get them to aspire for books that can reach an international audience. Yeah. So I feel that is my life's work. Most times when people ask me about my mission for my company's Success Back brand, I always tell them, you know, I envision an African continent where legacy-minded leaders can write their authentic stories. That for me is a big gap that is missing. So I'm beginning my journey. I've begun it in Uganda, but I'm expanding. Yeah.
Yes, and this is a perfect place to close the story today, because you really, really laid it all out for us with your passion, with your enthusiasm, sharing your mission of your grand, grand work. And I just want to thank you so much, my dear, for coming on and for sharing what your mission is, what your purpose is, what your vision is, and what you're working on. And I want to see you expand and reach the people that you are, that are looking for you. So let us tell the audience where they can find you.
Okay, thank you. So the website for my company is www.successspark.co. So the success will have three S's, not two S's, because it is success and then spark. And then on Facebook, you can look for Jackie Batanda. I write my Jackie as J-A-C-K-E-E. So that same name is on Twitter at Jackie Batanda. That same name is on LinkedIn, Jackie Batanda. And then also the Facebook pages of my companies would be Success Spark Brand on Facebook and on Twitter and on YouTube. And yes.
Yes, what we're going to do is I want to make sure that we get those links and we put them into the description of the YouTube when you're watching this later. But please, for those of you that are seeing this information, hearing this information, share it forward with your tribes and your people so that we can get this shared to as many people as we possibly can. Thank you, Jackie Batanda, for being who you are, for shining your courage and your light, for coming on and sharing your story of hope so that others can too have the hope to make a better world. Thank you, everyone, for listening and tuning in. We'll see you again next time.
You've been listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, your call to action. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio. Cornelia's joy is to engage others in practical ways, showing us how to live in the new earth in harmony with our true nature. For more information on Cornelia and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to her website at corneliastephanie.com.